We're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you again for being here, and hope you've had great conversation around the table. Many of you know that we started this Dream of Destiny based on the speech of Dr. Martin Luther King, who in the very middle of that speech talked about all the white people that were in the crowd the day he spoke in Washington, D.C. at the mall, and he said, basically explained that we are all linked together. Our destinies are linked together. And so instead of I have a dream, it's really we have a dream, because the dream's not going to happen with one person. We really all need to be involved. So this dream of destiny is really comes from not I have a dream, but we have a dream. And we are so thankful for the progress that we've seen in some of our churches and some of our universities. I have seen a marked difference just in the attitude and in the intentionality. So I thank you for your work and for your faithfulness. Some of you guys have been here from the beginning, and you may remember I had a gentleman named Byron Davis who's been helping spearhead the Dream of Destiny. And Byron has gotten real involved in doing mentoring and helping companies and individuals do some personal idea shaping and planning. And so what we've done is we now have contacted Travis Hurley, who most of you know, and he's the one who's been helping spearhead Dream of Destiny. Travis works at Ozark Christian College, and he's the vice president of development at that college. But not only does he wear that hat, he's also been commissioned by the president to help Ozark become more racially diverse. And again, that's a huge step for us, because I remember the first time meeting with Ozark and just the lack of diversity there and just the lack of intentionality. And in my opinion, they have come full on board with that desire, which is the heart of God. And we've got other colleges here. I think of Atlanta, St. Louis, and Hope International that have really taken great strides and been involved from the very beginning. So we've seen some progress, and we're excited about that. But I'm going to have Travis share a little bit, since he's going to be spearheading Dream of Destiny. And then he'll introduce the gentleman that's going to introduce Dr. Perkins for us today. But would you please welcome Travis Hurley right now, if you would, please.
Good morning, everyone. It is good to be with you this morning, and it is an honor and a privilege to be a part of the Dream of Destiny initiative. I believe that when we see a culturally and racially diverse church here on earth, it is one of the closest pictures of what heaven is going to look like. I'm constantly reminded of Revelation 7, 9 through 10, where it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, every tribe, nation, people, and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb." I also believe that when we see so many reminders of our country's gaping racial wound, the most recent in Charleston, that it should give us a great sense of urgency as the church, because we must be leading the way. And Dream of Destiny exists to cheer the church on toward that end. Because I work at Ozark Christian College, there's a natural tendency for me to think in terms of raising up that next generation of leaders. And I remember some words that Dudley had shared with me in previous times where we've talked. He said, you know, in order for us to foster this diversity within our churches across the U.S. and around the world, he says, we must work together to mentor and disciple young people of diverse ethnic backgrounds as leaders in the Christian church, the churches of Christ, and in our Bible colleges. So while I've been at Ozark Christian College raising money in the development department, I've also been a part of this discussion to enhance campus diversity there at Ozark. And so because I'm in that department where the money is connected to the lifeblood of the school, It's been interesting to have some conversations, like with Troy Nelson in admissions, and we've seen Ozark initiate a specific scholarship called the Mosaic Leadership Scholarship, intended to attract
students.
And you've got initiatives that perhaps may be very similar in that regard. And that is an important piece for the colleges themselves to say, hey, we're gonna put our money where our mouth is when it comes to this desire to see change in this way. Well, I've also seen some individuals come on board and say, you know what, we want to establish an institutional grant or memorial grant, and we want it to go specifically to students of color at Ozark, and they were aware of the Mosaic Scholarship. In fact, I put in some of your information this Dream of Destiny Fund grant. We had a couple come forward this year who said, you know, we want to provide some monies for students of color who maybe couldn't get the Mosaic Scholarship. Maybe they didn't know about it when they first came in, but we want to help the college retain them as they go through their schooling. You may see this and say, this might be something I can do with my alma mater. And so that's the intention of putting that with your materials today, is for you to take this with you. Maybe you know somebody, if you're here from one of the schools, you know a partner of your institution who has this same passion. Put this in their hands and say, this is a way that you can help us to retain students of color at our college as well. There's a third one that I want to draw your attention to as well, and this was one that we launched at Dream of Destiny this year. It's the blue brochure. It's called the Dream of Destiny Matching Internship Grant, Enhancing the Diverse Spectrum of Leaders Within the Christian Church. The design with this grant is Dream of Destiny wants to encourage students of color at our colleges to get out and begin serving in internships in our churches here in the United States. This is a pilot program, so this first year, you'll notice the first two students, Matthew McBirth and Josiah Javier, they're Ozark students. But I want you to understand that this was just this first year as a pilot, and I visited with the college presidents on Tuesday and let them know that this coming year, we want this to be something that all of our colleges are aware of. Get this in the hands of your students. Let them know about this opportunity. The way this works is if you have a student of color who wants to go out and serve in one of the churches that Dream of Destiny sees as a multi-ethnic church, or a church that desires to be multi-ethnic going forward, they've made that commitment to be intentional in that regard. If the church will come on board and say, we'll take them on for the summer, 10 weeks, we'll provide $1,000 during their time there, then when they complete that internship, Dream of Destiny wants to match that $1,000 in a check to their college to help them with their tuition in that fall semester. So this is an initiative that we started this year. It's a way in which the Dream of Destiny can come alongside the students to help them keep their costs as low as possible, as well as get some hands-on experience in ministry. It's a way to come alongside our colleges to say, hey, we want to help you retain students. And it's a way to come alongside our churches to say, hey, here are some students that are looking for a place to plug in. If you will commit, we will help you to fund their time. So I want you to make sure that you're aware of this brochure. You can actually download this from the website, dreamofdestiny.com, if you go to the call to action page, if you need more copies of it. But I wanted you to know that this is something that we want to pursue further in this next year. And I'll tell you, this pilot, this first year, the two students, the $2,000 is coming out of Dream of Destiny's funds that Shepherd provides each year to fund the initiative. Our hope is that today and going forward, we can raise more money that will allow us to offer more grants in the coming year. So depending on what we see come in from now through the end of this year, will give us an idea of how many grants we can offer in 2016. I also want to tell you about a couple of other things we have coming up. The Dream of Destiny initiative wants to invite you to the Race and Restoration Summit. This will take place in February at Ozark Christian College. It's going to run adjacent to Ozark's annual preaching and teaching convention. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Abilene, at Abilene Christian University, and I got to participate and observe a conversation that's taking place with our brothers and sisters in the Churches of Christ. They had this conversation over 3 days on issues of race. What are some of these specific subjects, these topics, these parts of our history, parts of our current conversation, culturally, politically, that are dividing us, and how do we bridge some of that together? Well, that's a conversation you cannot have at a Dream of Destiny breakfast at the North American. We eat our food, we see each other for a few minutes, and then we head on to the next thing. So we thought, what if we did the same
thing?
Rob Daniels from Westbrook Christian Church in Bolingbrook, Illinois, said, hey, we need to have the same conversation in the Christian church. So Rob and I and Jency and Adrian and Dudley and several others are coming together to plan this event. And we want it to be a partnership with our Church of Christ brothers and sisters as well. And so we've already reached out to Dr. Taylor, Dr. Royce Money, and several others. Victor Knowles from Poem Ministry is going to be a part of that event. We're going to talk about history, we're going to talk theology, and we're going to talk about how going forward the multi-ethnic church is the powerful way in which we can spiritually address this racial wound in our country. So I want to invite you to attend this, save the date. Registration doesn't begin until this fall, but you can go to that site and express your interest so that when registration does begin, you'll get notified. I also would encourage you to check out our webpage. You can follow Dream of Destiny Initiative on Facebook and on Twitter. And that is really all I wanted to say at this time, except to let you know that next year in Anaheim, Dr. Jerry Taylor from Abilene Christian University will be our keynote speaker for the breakfast. So watch for that as the weekly blog posts come up and the email goes out from Dream of Destiny in the coming year. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask Jency Harton, dear friend of mine who is pastoring alongside Steve Chapman at First Christian Church in Chicago, Illinois, to come. He's going to introduce Dr. Perkins, and I asked him to do this today because I had him introduce Dr. Perkins for his workshop yesterday, and he did such an amazing job. I said, you got to do that again this morning, brother. So now I've set him up. It better be good. All right? And I want to remind you, too, Dr. Perkins is doing a workshop today at 2 o'clock, so check that out in your program. Jency, would you come?
Let all of God's people say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
New Hebron, Mississippi is where his life began, where he lived throughout his childhood until he became a man. Early in life, he experienced the loss of his mother, abandonment by his father, and the death of his brother. Despite growing up in poverty and not being very skilled, as a young man, he survived by being determined and strong-willed. Moved to California in 1947 to find a better life. 2 years later, he met Vera Mae Buckley, who later became his wife. While living on the West Coast, he gained a new perspective when leading souls to Jesus Christ became his new objective. He returned to Simpson County, Mississippi, as the 60s began, not because he wanted to, but because he knew it was God's plan. Funding from Calvary Baptist Church opened the door for a new ministry, which he began in 1964, when he established the Voice of Calvary Bible Institute to help young men and women become biblically astute. Self-empowerment is the cause he began to promote as he prompted blacks in Simpson County to go to the polls and vote. In 69, he led a boycott of stores in the city of Mendenhall to remind their owners that employment should be available to all. Arrested and tortured in 1970 by police officers in Brandon Jail, yet his resolve remained steadfast. His courage did not fail. To this day, he still feels pain from the beating he endured, yet he remains a man of peace and love, calm and self-assured. He wrote a book entitled A Quiet Revolution in 1976 to bring attention to the issues that the church must help to fix. Founder of the Christian Community Development Association, whose purpose is to bring together local congregations to address urban challenges using a three-tiered solution: relocation, reconciliation, and redistribution. Founder and president of the John M. Perkins Foundation, a man whose influence has spread throughout the nation, who has fought against the evils of poverty and segregation, whose faith has helped him rise above any situation so that his life story, his journey, his divine revelation can be told in the year 2015 to a whole new generation. An inspirational public speaker whose services are highly pursued. A prolific author and writer whose published works include restoring at-risk communities, doing it together and doing it right.
Love is the
welcoming
final
justice.
Fight.
The father of Christian community development. That's how this man is known. His message is that we must work together, not alone. We must draw from our abundant means and do a little more to share the love of Jesus Christ with the oppressed and with the poor. Bold, confident, courageous, and yet a man of great humility, whose life reveals the power of having faith in our ability to make a difference by taking action, by refusing to be passive, and in doing so to have an impact that is widespread and massive. As he explains in his book entitled Follow Me to Freedom, sometimes we can't just follow others. Sometimes we've got to lead them. His life's work has a lasting relevance, even to the present day, reminding us to fix our eyes on Jesus, for indeed he is the way. A man of great courage, resolve, strength, and fearlessness, a visionary leader whose allegiance to Christ is his life's greatest success, an evangelist whose passion lies in strengthening the community in a way that brings the races together in a spirit of love and unity, a man who's always been hip to the Holy Spirit's inner workings. Brothers and sisters, I present to you Dr. John M. Perkins.
I guess you know I like that. I just tell the truth about it. I think my being here this morning represents to me, as I reflect upon my life, you heard a little of it there, as I reflect upon my life, that this morning, this time, being here, at this time in history, as I think Trinitarian, like Jesus thought Trinitarian, and he taught us to think Trinitarian. He taught us to look at what was, what is to come. The past should guide us around the pitfalls of yesterday. And I'm going to define that later, but justice is not stative. It's a moving target. Moving target. What was just yesterday might not be just today. And so it's not a moving target, because the environment and the living of the people creates the present all the time. We use the present to create the future all the time. We use the present to do that. We use the present to create the future. The future is what we have made, and we're always looking towards that, the future. What it's going to be like. We heard that this morning. We heard what the end church will look like. It was those from every tongue, every nationality, not race. Race wasn't mentioned. Because he made the assumption that we was created from one blood for all nations that dwell upon the face of it. That's an addition. That's an unfortunate audition. The race was to be won, and that's the mission of reconciliation. That's the mission. It was broken in Adam. I'm not going to take a lot of time there. It was broken in Adam. God was in Christ. That's the purpose of the incarnation. That's what brought him down from heaven. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And this should be our joy.
Broken.
Enlisted. He redeemed us so that we could join with him to be in his redemptive work. I don't think we understand it. I'm looking at folks most of the time, they're looking sad. They love this world as it exists so much. They don't want it to look like God want to make it. One nation, under God, with liberty and justice for all. And those are self-evident. You, in the Bible, it was said that you could see that by the creation, by the things that he made. Even his eternal Godhead. This whole addition of racism and separation. And then to do it in his own body, the church. That's the reason we don't get there. We're not preaching the gospel. That's what the gospel was designed to do. He emptied everything in the gospel. He emptied everything in the grace of God. He brought down grace and truth. Truth is that we were broken in Adam. Truth is that we're sinners. We're sinners before we do anything, good or bad. Because Adam took care of that. We were broken. We're broken people. He takes the whole three chapters there to show us that we're absolutely broken. Broken. He concludes that, bro. He talks about it. When we knew God, we glorified him not as God. Neither was we thankful, but became vain in our imagination. Our foolish heart was dark. We professed our best to be wise and became fools and changed the lure of God into corruption and created the homosexual environment. And it's leading the way. It's leading the way right now. It's leading the way. And they're spitting in our face. In our face. God gave them up to do. But God, we're going to see that. That's the gospel. To take reconciliation out of the gospel and make it a side issue is a tragedy. You had to hold down the truth to do that. You had to hold down the truth. That couldn't emerge if the truth was proclaimed. Because grace is, he told us that we were sinners, but the grace part is he brought the solution. The more the sin, the more effectiveness is the grace. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. We are allowing this, and we're allowing flags and all of that. We're learning wicked tradition and all of that. We don't want to give that up. That's what he came to do, is to redeem us from that. Your tradition. They say to me all the time, let's go back to the religion of our founding fathers. I say, you a fool? I don't want to be no slave. What are you talking about? I ain't going back to founding fathers. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. All of us have been redeemed. And we was redeemed from all of that. And then that grace says that we don't have to live with it. Grace is that fountain of blood drawn from Emmanuel's name. There is a fountain. There is a fountain. Not only did God forgive us for our Adam sin, but he left a fountain here for me, for John Perkin. I need him. I'm prone to wonder. I'm prone to leave this God I love. Take my heart, Lord, and nail it, seal it to your throne above. We need God. So this to me is a moment I've been coming to. We've been piecemealing it. We've been piecemealing it like we piecemeal the Constitution. We piecemeal it. We made the best constitution that any human, greatest statement of human dignity than the Magna Carta and any other statement of nationhood on earth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people was created equal and was endowed by their creator with certain rights, chief among those, a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We added the crown and peace to it. We were going to take people from every nation under God.